This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
Hey, and welcome to Film Center. My name's Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And today we have a very special guest. We're here with
Joaquina Gentil. Also known as JoJo.
And it is possibly a JoJo reference. We don't know. That could possibly
be. It could be a JoJo reference from two different cartoons. It could either be JoJo's Bizarre Adventures.
That's true.
Or Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, that's true. Oh. Or isn't there a JoJo and Josie and the Pussycats? I feel like there was one in there, too.
Have you ever gotten a Mojo JoJo reference?
All the time.
I'm sure you...
Especially when I'm angry. They're like, Mojo JoJo coming out. Yeah. I've gotten a lot of JoJo Rabbit lately as well.
Jojo
Rabbit.
The movie.
The movie.
Jojo Rabbit.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's not really into that kind of stuff. He's more into New Girl. Nicholas.
Oh,
that's Nicholas's bread and butter. He's more into New Girl. Like,
Did you like New Girl.
Big Bang Theory? I don't know.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory was all right.
Yeah, that says this
sitcoms.
More.
Yeah.
That's his more his speed. So you want to tell us about a little bit where you're from?
Yeah, 100%. I'm originally from Argentina. Hmm. I would say born and raised, but it's not really true. I was actually raised in Brazil 10 years of my life.
Really?
Yeah, I know. All around the world.
So you were born in Argentina. Which city in Argentina?
Buenos Aires.
Nice. Okay, and then...
You moved to
Brazil when I was like a little kid. Was raised there until I was like 12, 13.
Mm-hmm. Where in Brazil?
In Rio and in São Paulo.
Oh, Rio? That's so busy. It's such a busy city.
But you guys should go to São Paulo. São Paulo is bigger and it's, well.
I've been to Minas. Minas Gerais?
Minas Gerais, yes.
Yeah,
I've been there too.
For the cheese bread. Don't they have, they're famous for cheese bread.
For pão de queijo?
That does it translate to cheese bread?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I used to date a girl from Minas.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you dated a Brazilian girl.
Yes.
Wow.
She was also the first Latina I ever dated, too.
Yes.
So that's... When I used to work construction, the scaffold builders were like, bro, you went from just being white to just dating a Bengal tiger, man. You gotta tip your toe in the pool first,
yeah,
man.
And Brazilians are intense.
We're both from the South, so I was like, bro.
Yeah.
The likelihood that... Occasion from Louisiana. He's not even from New Orleans. You're from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Baton Rouge.
So Baton Rouge, Louisiana is, oh yeah, I'm dating this person from Brazil. And I was like,
yeah, I went there for a month. Yeah. I went to Uruguay, which I found out that's how they pronounce it. They don't say it
Uruguay.
Uruguay.
C-O-U.
And then Argentina. And I was in Buenos Aires.
Oh, where did you go in Uruguay?
I don't know. Wherever the... I took a cruise.
Oh.
I did a cruise.
Okay.
And it didn't speak English, which I was really upset about because I told her, make sure they speak English.
Yeah.
You should just learn Portuguese and Spanish
overnight.
Portuguese
is so hard to learn.
It's
the sounds are complicated. I lived there for 10 years of my life, and I have Brazilian friends. And when I speak to them, sometimes I'm like, I don't remember how to say that.
Like,
what's crazy?
Oi migs is hello friend, but you can't say that to a guy because then that's like fruity.
What again?
Oi migs.
Oi meets?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
It might be just a slang term.
You know, it's interesting because then, like, to a lot of Americans, when they're like, Portuguese is not Spanish.
No.
But to a lot of, like, uneducated Americans, it sounds similar enough.
Yeah.
So they're like, you sound like you're just saying Spanish words I've never heard of, but it's not even Spanish at all.
I think Brazilians and Argentinians, we can definitely understand each other, like, in a way, like... We'll get our points across, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We can definitely hold a conversation, especially if it's about soccer, for example.
Right. Yeah.
We'll go all in.
Messi, let's go.
Guys, let's not start on soccer. I'm really passionate.
Like to mess with her, though. Like, she would be talking with her friends, and I would just say a couple of words in Portuguese just to make her seem like I know what it is they're saying.
Be like, oh,
because they would,
my name is Nicholas in, like, Portuguese, and they'd be like...
No, I used to just say, like, random words, and then they'd look at each other like, blah, 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 blah. Nicholas, can you...
understand what we're saying?
And I was like... Maybe.
Nicholas, you did that thing from a Family Guy where that Spanish speaker tells Brian, he's like, no, I only know how to explain that one sentence in English. So you spent growing up in Brazil. Right, and then...
Went back to Argentina. I did end of my high school years, first years of university, And then I decided from one day to the other that...
University? Which university did you go to?
So, an Argentinian one called UADE. So, it's called Universidad Argentina de la Empresa. But basically... Oh. Yeah, I know. I was studying performing arts and production. And
already in college?
Yeah.
Oh,
we have a different...
We got to back up. So, what got you then interested in the entertainment space?
Let's go. When I finished high school, I was like, when I was in high school, I already wanted to quit high school. I wanted to drop out and study music.
Okay. Oh.
Crazy.
Okay. What kind of music?
It's any type of music. Composition, direction, whatever. I was crazy. I didn't do that.
Okay.
Of course. Here we are. I always participated in like school plays, choirs, singing. Mm. So when I got out of high school, I was like, this is it. I am done with this. My parents were like thinking, oh, she got really good grades, top grades in class. Mm. She has scholarships. She's definitely going to study something like business, to be a lawyer.
Something where all those good grades can be like put to use. Like, yeah.
No, Mom, no. I'm studying acting. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, and what was your parents' reaction to it?
My dad, imagine. He wanted to kill me.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. And also, for the audience at home, correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, is that the university system is flipped like it is here in America. So you have it's better to get into the public schools than the private schools, because the private schools are just...
There's a mix. Right? We have really good private schools, like really good private schools, and we have really good public university. University in Argentina is free. The college system is different. We don't have like college and then university. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
I thought the two were the same thing.
Yeah, we're the same thing. You just go to whatever you want to study directly. So if you want to be a doctor...
You go directly to medical school.
Exactly.
Instead of being like, oh, college first and then medical school.
Exactly. You just go directly to medical school. Like, you're going to share some subjects with like dudes studying biology, chemistry. Mm. But
you guys are all STEM, though.
Yeah. But you're going to be doing your medical school.
You're not
going to
be doing
start.
Anything filler.
Yeah.
Before.
No.
You don't have to take a class on underwater
English,
basket weaving.
No general education. No GED. No. Yeah. It's just all directly to whatever you want to study.
That's a good idea, actually.
It works
That's
pretty
how
well.
It should be.
Oh, yeah. When I started studying, so I was like, Mom, I'm going to study this. It took me a while. I'm not going to lie. I started with journalism first and production and journalism. Mm-hmm. I hated journalism, especially in Argentina, because it's like really political and no. And I had to learn the Constitution. And I was like, point by point, I was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I am not doing this. So I went back and I started, and I got into a bunch of musical theater, like weekly classes and acting classes. And then I started doing production in UADE, which is the school I told you about. Mm. And this new career opened, which was a performing arts career with professionals of the space that were really well known. I was like, I need to do this. Mm. And the good thing is, as I said, my production career and my performing arts career, they shared subjects. So I wouldn't have to take
so
a lot
have to
of my
do, like,
class.
Do all of them again.
Exactly. And I had just started off. I had done like 6 months of the other one. So I jumped in. And at the same time, I had a band.
What instrument did you play?
I don't play. I sang.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, you sing?
Yeah, that's how I got into acting, actually. Because I was like, oh, I love musical theater. And then I completely moved away from musical theater. But
because that's what I was going to ask you. What was
the hook?
What was the thing that got you into it? So it's musical theater.
Yeah. It went all from like music. It started all from music and singing in choirs and then getting a role in a musical theater play in high school and then being like, oh, I want to do this outside. Bringing it outside.
So you're a musical theater kid.
Wow.
I'm not proud.
I was in musical theater when I was in high school, too. It's you took a little bit farther than I did, but musical theater is always so interesting, especially if you always have that one kid, and this is at least in my high school and other high schools I've noticed, there's always one kid who can't sing at all. They are a terrible singer, but they have so many other skills. We had a kid in our high school, he couldn't sing, hold a note for his life, but he could build sets like basically by himself.
Oh my God.
Our teacher was like, I don't care. He's in the play.
He's in the play because he's building everything.
Right.
That is so funny. That's so true.
We just pretend he knows how to sing and then.
He never sung anything by himself. No solos, always surrounded by other people.
Ensemble.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah. My only problem was like, I felt like that world didn't match my personality. I don't know if that happened to you, any of you guys.
Yeah, because it's all the cattiness and the two-face. And the,
yeah.
I just didn't want to act anymore, to be fair. That was my thing. I was like, you know what? There are a lot of really great actors out there. I don't want to be one of them. I feel like the world, I would have liked to write stuff. That's how it was more like I like to direct and watch stuff, and I didn't actually start writing until I got to film school. So then what then brought you to America?
Oh, here we go. So I, in the middle of this training that I was going through, which was more towards musical theater and performing arts as a whole, as I would say, I was like, I feel like I'm not acting enough. I feel like this is not enough. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I had classes, but they weren't like in depth. I felt like there were things missing. So I was like,
it's not satisfying the hunger.
Yeah. And when I was 15, I went to New York for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Gotcha.
What part in city, I assume?
Yeah, I went to Manhattan for the first time. And with my grandmother, instead of having a quinceañera, I had a 15-year-old
trip.
She
was like, yeah, I'm going to go ball out in New York. See ya. Enjoy your cake, losers.
Exactly. I was like, why do I want a party? Let's go on a trip.
Yeah.
So I went to New York, and of course, I went to Broadway. I watched plays, etc. I was like, I need to do this.
This is what I want to do.
Do you have any favorite Broadway plays?
No.
You can't choose one?
No.
Like but Cats or something like that?
No. I'm going to say something that's really controversial. I really enjoy to perform in them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I enjoy watching them as much.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Statistically, musicals do way worse than any other genre of performing. In fact, especially when it comes to theater, not theater, especially when it comes to television and movies. That's why, like, in the mid-1900s, like, Sound of Music did well.
Yeah.
But Sound of Music is also not really about the singing. It's about Nazis. Right after the war.
Yeah.
But that's why they, like Mean Girls, like the recent Mean Girls that came out, the recent Color Purple that came out, those were both musicals. In the advertising for both of those movies, they did not advertise they're a musical because they were afraid people wouldn't go to see it. And in fact, you can look it up. There's tons of videos on the internet of people, they're in there watching it. They're recording on their phones. They're not supposed to be doing that. But as soon as they start singing, everyone goes, oh, you could see them like get up and leave. I'm like, that's so embarrassing. Why did you do this?
Yeah.
That's kind of like Les Miserables. Did they not advertise that it was a musical?
Yeah, they didn't advertise that was a musical either.
Because my dad really wanted to see that. And we went into the theater and I was like, okay, maybe they're just singing a little bit. And then I turned to my dad and I was like, hey, they're doing nothing but singing. Like,
and Into the Woods also did that too. Even if it is like a musical rendition. Now, here's the thing. Wicked is coming up. Wicked is one of my favorite plays. I've seen it more times than I would like to admit. However, I've seen the advertising for it. There's no singing that I saw.
Ariana Grande is there. I need to watch that just to see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much drama behind that.
Oh. But you came to New York when you were 15, and then?
And then I was like, I have to come back at some point to study. So yeah, cut to when I was 2021. I go to New York. I do the course at NYFA.
You went to New York Film Academy.
Yeah, but I did a short course. It wasn't like...
I went to the one here in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm still the guy from their commercial. I had shorter hair back then.
But wait, what year did you go to? I have a lot of friends from NYFA here.
Yeah?
A bunch.
I graduated during the pandemic in 21, but I got here like late 2018. And to be fair, I had no aspirations of being a writer when I got here. I did that. Was doing art and the art PD department. And I will forever say that Gilbert, there was this guy named Gilbert who was our first semester writing teacher. I was in the wrong class. I should have been. Because everyone in the class was like, he was like, all right, everyone go around the room and say what you're here for. And they're like, oh, I'm a writer. I'm going to be a director. I'm a writer. And I was like, oh, I'm art department in costumes. I'm in the wrong place. And so I was like, yeah, I'm also a writer too. Thinking like, okay, I'm about to leave after this.
Yeah.
And Gilbert wasn't like, hey, your costumes are great, but your writing's better to the point to where your costumes suck.
That man changed your life.
Yeah, yeah. So you went to NYFA, New York.
I went to NYFA, New York, and I was like, I need to come back. I need to come back to the United States. I need to. I don't know when. I don't know how, but I just have to come back. Cut to, I didn't come back to the United States. I went back home. I continued university, and then I was in my third year of university.
What year was this?
This was, so I went to New York 2016, and then 2017, a friend of mine calls me, and she's like, you have to audition for the school. I was like, what?
School where?
She's like, I have to audition for the school in France.
Oh.
And I'm like, there is no way. No way. Why France? She's like, shut up. Just go. Do it. Like,
that's a good friend.
Yeah. I'll tell you about this friend of mine in a second. But she was like, shut up. Just go and do it. And I was like, okay, I'll show up. My grandma had died. I was like grieving and stuff. And I was like, I'll just do it. And I did the audition. I had to do a contemporary monologue and a Shakespeare monologue. And it was the first time I had to do a Shakespeare monologue. Because in Argentina, you don't see Shakespeare until a certain point. Like, it's not our...
What's the idea behind that? Like, why don't you see it till then?
Is it because it's so complicated? Because Shakespeare in Spanish?
Yeah.
That's true.
Fair.
It's already...
Iambic pentameter. Yeah.
It's already confusing in English. I can only imagine what it sounds
they,
like
they
in
Spanish.
They
translate it from... In English for kids. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't exist. And I got in to the school.
Oh, that's awesome.
And do you then remember the name of the school?
Yeah, yeah. It's called FONACT, Fontainebleau School of Acting. Mm-hmm. So this school, it had just started. And the cool thing about them is that they still bring, because they still exist, and I love them very much. And I would actually say anyone who's interested in doing theater and likes the UK model of schooling, you have to go there because it's insane.
Oh, even though they're French, they use the UK model.
The owner used to go to Guildhall, which is a school in London, and he got a lot of the teachers from Guildhall, Lambda and Rada, to just come and teach in the middle of nowhere in France.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, wow. That's
so they must
these
have
are,
some pull, huh?
These are teachers that taught like Orlando Bloom, Daniel Craig, like crazy people, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, I have to go there. What
right.
the hell?
Yeah.
And I went there, I was like, I'm just gonna go a year, I'm gonna try for a year. If I don't like it, whatever. I'll just go back and finish university. I went for a year, I went for two. I stayed for two. Wow. I had a theater company there with my friends. Mm. We went everywhere, like London, Brussels. We had the best freaking time.
That sounds great.
I know. And then when I finished that, the same friend who called me like, you have to audition to come to France, she got into Yale, and she called
That's
me,
awesome.
Yale Drama, and she's like, you have to audition to come to the United States.
Right.
This friend of yours is like, all
Yale?
Right, now that I got you to level two,
yeah.
I got to bring you to level three.
The same friend. She's like, yeah.
That's a good friend.
Who is this friend?
This friend
is
awesome.
The MVP of your life.
Right. She's the MVP of my life.
You guys are like the Kobe and Shaq of friendship. Y'all are doing it.
We don't share birthdays for a day. So it's like some weird thing. But she was like, just come. Just audition for a bunch of schools. So I auditioned for a few. And then I got accepted at American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And that's how I came to the U.S. finally.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
With a scholarship.
Yeah.
But, and I did that. And then COVID. And I stayed. And I worked through it. And here we are. Working.
COVID threw a monkey wrench in a lot of people's plans.
Yeah.
When you told... I mean, because I'm sure you're traveling all over the world here.
Yeah.
And what did your family think about you traveling so much? Especially in post-COVID, I'm pretty sure they wanted you to come back home.
When COVID hit, I was here in LA, and they were like, I just got back from London because we put up a play. And they were like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay. Whatever happens, like, I'm staying. And I stayed. And...
What did your parents think this whole time? They're just like, you gotta come home. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
The world might end.
Yes, but they supported me at the same time. Yeah, it was a weird time.
Mm.
I'm not gonna lie. A lot of times I was like, what the hell am I doing in this city? Like, everything
That's everybody
is
in
shut
Los Angeles.
All
every
the time.
Day.
I think that to myself every day. I can't. I think that to myself when I walk
doing?
Into work.
When I'm driving down the 405, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. What am I doing?
What is actually going on? Especially every time I talk to my parents about what I do, I try to explain to them in the most clear-cut, basic English I can, and their response every time is, my mom's response is always like, that's nice. That great job, baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then, this is really hard, but I
that's
appreciate
awesome.
It. And then my dad, this is his, he gives out this phrase when he wants me to change the subject and doesn't understand. He goes, that's Chinese to me, all right? And meaning, oh, I have no idea what you're saying, but whatever, let's talk about something else.
Yeah, I think with my parents, we're like beyond the point of me trying to explain to them things that they're like, we don't get it. We don't get it. We support you. We don't get it. Like,
it's probably just, do you have money? All right. Are you good? Are you eating? Right.
Yeah. Are you okay? Do you feel well? Yes. Are you healthy? Ish. Cool.
Went down the alive checklist.
Yes.
My dad's phrase is always, he doesn't really say much, but he's good work if you can get it. And that's literally what he says. Oh, Dad, this is what I'm doing. I mean, he's like, yeah, cool. Good
Nicholas's
work if you can get it.
Dad is actually mad funny.
Like, yeah.
Your dad?
Yeah. He'll be like, oh, hey, Ma. Because he'll be on speaker. We're like, hey, Ma, put down the phone. And Nicholas's dad will be like, what's up? And you're like, hey, Dad, how you doing? Good. He's all right.
I'll be like, how you been? What you been doing? Working. and he was like, and I'll say, goes, well, what else? And he's like, what else do you want me to do?
And he'll be like, here's your mother. And she'd be like, wow, he said four words.
Good chat, Dad. Good chat. That is funny.
You did play. You were producing plays.
Yeah.
We were also in them, I assume, right? So what type of plays were you guys putting on? Mostly comedies, mostly dramas?
You guys are going to laugh. Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. So we toured with Twelfth Night. Mm-hmm. We did a version of Twelfth Night. And the director, her name is Christy Bushel. Mm-hmm. Christy, she is, if there's anyone who's a monster on stage, is this woman. Mm-hmm. This woman has done so many Shakespeare plays at the Globe with the RSC, with the Royal Shakespeare Company. She is a beast. And working with her, especially on Shakespeare, has been incredible. I'm getting goosebumps as I speak. She dissects the play in a way, in the sounds, because she has this theory that Shakespeare, and it's not a theory, it's a fact, but Shakespeare was written to be heard, not seen.
Yeah.
So she's very adamant about the language and how you're saying it and how you're breaking up the script. Imagine me, a foreigner.
I was about to say, you must be incredibly intelligent to be able... We have a hard time translating Shakespeare, and then you come from somebody who's... English is not even your native language, so it's almost like you have to translate three languages.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the owner of this school where I was, who was the one who introduced us to Kirsty, and he was also co-directing the play, he's French, and he used to look at me, he's like, we have to work three times as hard. And I was like... I used to hate it. I was
like
so
every
frustrated.
Every black parent says to their child. It's so, true.
Like, frustration to the max. And that was one of the reasons why I ended up coming to the U.S. because the U.K. market is so much more closed up. If you're not, and he told me this, he's like, if you're not from the U.K., if you're not American as well, you're always going to get cast as, like, the foreigner, right?
I've heard that. Like, in Europe, basically, if you're not European, you're just straight up the foreigner. And it's not even like they care which type of foreigner you are. There's like, oh, no, this is just, here are all the roles, and then we have six foreigners. Doesn't matter where they're casting from.
And this is the other problem with my casting, which is I'm white. Like, I don't look Latina.
Yeah.
Like,
but talking to you for 5 seconds, you can tell.
But that's the issue, though. They don't listen to her talking. A lot of the cast people like just look at your photo and they're like, oh, she looks white, she has blonde hair. Oh, she's not Latina. It's like, no.
Like, you look at me and they're like a Scandinavian or a German or something. Like, no. But yeah, so they're very closed up and they're very protective about their market, which I appreciate. And they go about it in a different way, which I also appreciate. They're very heavy on craft. Who did you study with? Where did you study? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. Like, they have a whole different approach. But that being said, it was really frustrating for me. So my friend, her name is Maya, the one who got into Yale, she's Argentinian too. She has very similar problems that I have. Mm-hmm. And she's like, come to the U.S. You're going to feel accepted. And I was like, okay. And I did. I came here and it was like a whole different world, very different. I think there's like, the industry has way more opportunities, I would say. Like, there's way more things going on, but there's more of everything.
I always say this, like, America, we do produce more content than any other country. And I think part of that, though, is because of people like you. Because America is so mixed. Seriously. There's not one group of people in the world that then doesn't also exist somewhere in America.
100%.
We have come to this issue, and what it sounds like coming from the UK, it sounds like the UK, it's more streamlined and it's more... But here in the US, there's tons of opportunities, but not a whole lot of competency.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that there's a lot of people who get in.
Everybody says they're an actor, or says they're a producer.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So I'd say you need to know how to navigate. I'd say you need to know how to navigate this world.
And it seems like the UK, the pipeline is very disciplined.
We're more streamlined.
And structured. Okay, you do this. Whereas in Los Angeles, it's okay, you got to do
around the pond until you find.
There's still like a lot of like independent stuff going on in the UK. Like I have friends who are working on theaters like off West End and stuff. And they do great, of course. But I do think they're, what I meant by protect, like they protect their talent in the sense of like they're going to pick their people first. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think the U.S. has a little bit of that as well. Mm-hmm. If you're not American, like, it's better if you are American.
There's gatekeepers, of course.
But I think there is more of everything. And not only in front of the camera, but also behind the camera. And I see it with the crews I work with everything.
So for someone like you who's an actor and a producer, when you look at a script or a play,
yeah.
I'm sure you have, I'm a writer director, so I have like two brains when I look at a script. How does that looking, what is that like for you? I guess for the first part would be like, oh, what's my position for this? But as someone who's, oh, I'm putting on the play and I'm also acting in it, how do you navigate switching those hats?
They are really, I think I've learned with time to switch them on and switch them off because it has to do with, I started being an actress first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I studied to be present in the moment, connect, listen, be open, be responsive, be open to respond in a different way in whatever they're giving you in the moment, you know, very theater.
Right, very childhood exercises.
Yeah, exactly. But when I started producing, I have this other side of my brain, which is like executive of, okay, I need to deliver, I need to create, I need to execute. And they don't mesh well.
How do you, because I find the same issue, how do you feel that that being an actress first is a benefit to you as a producer, and then how do you find it being just ungodly frustrating?
Because we produce stuff ourselves, and I know, like, when I'm writing something, sometimes, like, it is negative, because I'll write something and be like, I don't think this could be affordable. Okay, I can't do the scene. So I'm sure it's different for you, though.
I think, yeah. So I'm going to answer his question first, which was, how do you feel like being an actress benefit or didn't benefit me being as a producer? I feel like everyone who works in film or in theater should go through being in an acting class once.
Mm-hmm.
Has to understand, like, talent, because you, that way you'll understand what they can bring to you and what,
instead of saying be more sad,
be more sad, be more angry, what do you mean by this?
God,
Mom?
I hate that so much. Being in film school, you see so many directors like they're trying to learn. My favorite note ever, someone said, I'm not gonna name this person,
okay,
but we're in class and this person, we have some actors come in, they're doing our little scenes that we wrote, they go, they're like, yes, I want you to smile but with less teeth. And it's like, okay. And all of us were like, that's the note for the acting in the scene. And he's like, yeah, if only she smiled with less teeth.
Oh my God.
For context.
What are you talking about?
For context, this person's at her father's wake. So, and there's no funny, it's not like funny, it's a very dramatic scene. So, we had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that is bizarre. That is bizarre for sure. But there you go. It's a perfect example of someone who's like, give them something that is actionable, that is something that they can bounce off of, not be more sad. But I think it's cool because when you study to be an actor, I feel like if you're not empathetic after studying to be an actor, I don't know what you're doing with your life. But there's this sense of empathy and of understanding that comes with it, right? I think that it makes you more humane in whichever position you choose to be after that. So when I became a producer, the good thing about starting to work as a producer was that before, I feel like as an actor, sometimes you can get stuck in this mindset of, like, oh, I need to get the job. I need to book the job. I need to, what even is that? Or like, I need to book the job. I need to book this. I need to book that. And everything revolves around that, right?
Around the booking, right.
Around the booking. But when I started working, producing things, I was like, oh my God.
There's so much more to the production.
Yes. There's so many hands in this pot. There's so many people spinning this wheel. I am just like this little cat, this little
cog in the machine, right?
Yeah. Cog in the machine that is like helping this big picture come to life. And I think it gives you such a sense of like yes. humbleness and of, I was so grateful to all the people I was working with because I was like, this dude is making me look good. And this light is making me look, like, it's not just me and what I'm giving. And it gives you a perspective.
It's just exactly how collaborative this stuff can really be. It's been great having you on the, it's been great having you on the show. People can follow you.
Oh yeah. My Instagram is Joaquitax, JOAQUITAX. If you guys want to follow me there for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Like I said, it's been great talking to you. And, that's where people can follow you on your Instagram. Do you have any other social medias or is just you're just on IG for right now?
I'm IG for now, right now, yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, this has been Film Center News. My name is Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we're here with the great...
Joaquina Jojo Gendil.
And we'll see you next time.
See
Thank you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at ComicConRadio.com. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major social media platforms. Tune in next Wednesday for a fresh update. Until next time, this has been Film Center.